Thank you, Lord. Give Him praise this morning. Come on. Come on, lift up your hands, your voices. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. Come on, is our God worthy? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. High five your favorite person next to you as you're being seated there. And offend the other ones that you didn't high five. Good morning. Can't high five and talk at the same time. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be at church. Let's try that. It's good to be at church. Hey, I was thinking about this. This is going to come out in a sermon. Everything good in my life has happened at church. Listen, I got saved in 1985 at a... I married my wife at a... Met my wife at a... Bible college church. I didn't meet her at some club. Met her at church. Baptized at a church. Dedicated my kids at a church. Everything good happens at church. It's cool that you can live stream the service. There's something good about being at church together. And you, listen, you have no idea. You have no idea how broken and hurting people are when they come here. I could just tell you a couple of people I've seen in the first three services. You have no idea what they've walked through. Yeah. And when we come here today and we gather around the Word of God and the people of God, how many know we're encouraged? And that's why, man, you got everybody you see, you got to be nice to them. You got to hug them. You just have no idea what they're going through. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I wasn't mad. I wasn't sad. I wasn't dragged. It was good to be at church, right? Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you're here, man. I'm glad you're here. How's my favorite service? Love you guys. You're amazing. You're amazing. Last week, if you didn't hear the message, if you did not come to church last week, God loves you not quite as much as the people that went to church. But we had a great time together. If you weren't here last week, I want you to get online and watch the message that I preached about offense and letting go of unforgiveness. It's a really, really important message, so please do that. Second thing I want to say is, would you commit to pray for me? Excellent. So the nine people that said yes, I want to just talk to you. There's one here. And so the nine of you, tonight, Andy and Pastor Andrew and I, and then another guy in our church, so the four of us are going to Africa. Right after the four service, we're going right to the airport, LAX to Paris, Paris into a country called Benin, right between Nigeria and Togo. We're going to be there for a week preaching, doing just some awesome things for God. So would you pray? Would you pray? Yeah. Especially because I'm like a spazoid, and to be in a plane for like 18 hours, and so I need your prayers, and pray that God does miracles and people come to Christ. And just someone say, I'll pray. Thank you for doing that. Then finally, our president declared that today would be a national day of prayer. How many know, as you look at the chaos of the world, Houston, people have lost our lives. One of our staff guys is in Houston right now, and he sent us some video. It's just crazy. We got fires in California and Montana and other places. Let's ask the God of all gods to help us. Can we do that? Would you bow your heads and pray? Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of loss, in the midst of flooding and fires. You are on the throne. And we just pray for grace and peace and strength. We pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted even in the middle of the chaos. Draw people to you, we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. This is so cool. You don't even know this. Don't turn around. But in the back section over there, there's about 12 to 15 people that are hearing impaired. And we have a gal in our church that's doing sign language during the music and during my message. Hold on. Can we give a shout out to the group back there? You guys are awesome. Awesome. Man, that is so cool. High five. It's good to have you guys here. All right. Grab your Bible there. Turn to the book of Psalm 46. I've been telling the other services, this is a BYOB church. Bring your own. Come on, bring your own Bible. You got your Bible there? Hold it up in there really high. Come on, hold your Bibles up in there. Isn't that great? Look around at all these amazing people that are committed to this book right here. Oh, phone, that's great. iPads, all you snooty people. Yeah. Psalm 46, grab your copy. If you don't have a copy, find a friend. Or better yet, underneath the chair in front of you, there's a little rack. You can pull that out. We're going to be looking at Psalm 46, verses 1 through 10. And it's great. How many of you are fired up about studying God's Word? All right, today's a standalone message. In other words, a standalone is not part of a series. This is a one-series standalone message. And I'm going to talk about finding calm. Some would say calm in the chaos. Okay, I was born in 1965. I'm 52 years old. I know you're shocked. Some of you have said, you look like 35. But no, 52. And who said no, man? Ushers, come take my son out of the service. So I was born in 1965. I'm 52 years old. And so I grew up in the 70s. We have any people who grew up in the 70s, man? That's when God was around in the 70s, man. It was awesome. And hey, how about this? How about this? What if you would have fallen asleep in 1977, 40 years ago, and you went to bed and you woke up this morning? And so for the last 40 years, you were just like, you were out. Was it Van Winkle guy, whatever his name is? So you fell asleep 40 years and you woke up today and you just opened up the, like, we didn't have internet back then, but you started to get on the internet, you started to read all these stories and get on USA Today and the Star Free Press. And how many know if you fell asleep 40 years ago and you woke up today, major change. Major changes in the last 40 years. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Let me just prove it. Prove it. In fact, if you would have went to sleep in 77 and woke up today, you would be shocked and rocked about what's taking place in our culture in the last 40 years. How about this? In one generation in the last 40 years, the divorce rate has gone from 4% to 51%. One generation. And please look at me. No condemnation to anybody in the room that's been divorced. I'm just simply stating a fact. When I grew up and anytime I heard about my parents' friends that were getting a divorce back then, it was like, oh, they're getting a divorce. There was almost like shame upon it. But what? Only 4% of the population was getting divorced. Today, 51%. And again, no condemnation. I'm just stating a fact. In one generation, we've gone from 4% to 51%. Someone make like a noise or something. Go, oh, okay, good, good, good. Cohabitation. That means people living together. 65% of people that are going to get married are already living together. Can I speak to you as your pastor? I'm not condemning you, but if you're living with somebody that you're not married to, you are out of the will of God. You're just out of the will of God. And well, you know, it's just financially, it's not working out. No, no. You need to figure out a way to move out. So I've heard it, like, she sleeps upstairs and I sleep downstairs. Sure. Hey, figure out a way. And well, we just can't do it financially. Well, just make the step and God will pave the way, okay? But 65% of couples, like, how many of them, it's not a big deal anymore. Yeah, we live together. It's like, I wouldn't buy a car, would I, without test driving it? So why would I get married to somebody that I'm not living with? 65%. Sad. Abortion, we're now killing 57 million every year unborn babies. Marijuana is now legalized in 29 states. How many know it's probably a year or two away from all the states legalizing it? Pornography is now a $1 billion-plus business annually. Every device, every iPad, every phone, you can get on it right now and get access to any pornographic movie that you want. It's a $1 billion industry. Homosexuality and transgender churches now and denominations now are ordaining homosexual and transgender people into full-time ministry. 40 years ago, like, what? It's happening today. Not to mention the music that we listen to and the movies that we watch and some of the television shows. I was telling the last service, we've gone from Leave It to Beaver and the Brady Bunch to all kinds of crazy shows that our kids have no business watching. I'll just make mention, I've never watched this show, I've just heard. It's a show called 13 Reasons. And really, it encourages teen suicide. And kids are watching the show and getting ideas. And I'm like, where have we gone in the last 40 years? I mean, it's a pretty chaotic world, not to mention premarital sex. If you're a high school boy, 17, 18 years old, or a college boy, and you were to tell your friends, like, no, I'm a virgin, I'm waiting until I get married, they'd be like, what? Are you an alien or something? I mean, 40, 50 years ago, that you just waited till you got married. Now, everybody's sleeping around. Let me just say this, gently, but compassionately. Do you know that I don't even think God really has a problem with what's going on in the world. I don't think the world is the issue. I think the problem in the last 40 years is the church. The church, because the studies I'm reading, they're saying there's no difference between people in the world and people in the church. And I want to say it should be different. I mean, on the last 40 years, we are living in chaotic times. Just turn on the news. I mean, just some of the protesting. Nothing wrong with holding a sign, but now we're on both sides, right and the left. We're fighting one another and punching one another, and we become ungovernable, anti-fascism and Nazism and Berkeley riots, and I mean, it's just like chaotic. And now North Korea says, hey, we're shooting off missiles. They've already shot off one, and we're saying, hey, you better not shoot off anymore. And the president says, no, we're not stopping. And then you got the hurricanes, not only in Houston and India, thousands of people are dying and protesting, and just how many, it's crazy right now. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to discover it's crazy and chaotic. I want to know, where do you run? Who do you go to? Where do you go in the midst of the chaos? I got some answers. Are you ready? We get to go to the Word of God and find three anchors for our soul in the middle of the chaos. You ready? Ready? Out of Psalm 46, here's three things. The first thing, write this down, and then I'll start reading, okay? First thing is this. The first anchor is this. I get to access His protection. Someone say protection. I get to access His protection. Now look at your Bibles there. Psalm 46, verse 1. I'm ready to read. Would you just say go? Notice, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in... Okay, let's look at a couple words. Number one, first word is the word... God. Everyone say God. Okay, God. God is our refuge and our strength. Where can we go in the middle of the chaos? We can run to God. Check this out. Listen carefully. Money is not the answer. Our cool methods aren't the answer. The military is not the answer. When we're afraid in the middle of the chaos, we get to run to God. Not any man, not any method, not the military. No, we get to run to God. He is our refuge and strength. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look at Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, and whom I take. Okay? Notice back to verse 1. God, here's a very important word. How many know every word in the Bible is important, by the way? God, pretty important. Next word, look at your Bible there. I don't know why you're looking at me. God what? Is. Not was. He wasn't a refuge or strength 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 30 years. It also doesn't say that one day He will be our refuge and strength. No. Right now, in the middle of the chaos of your life and our world, God is our refuge and strength. And I love this. This is like my favorite part. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help. Someone say ever-present. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody? They're just like, you're like, hey, I want to share something with you. And they're just like, huh? They're just like, ladies, I'll talk to the married ladies. So you're trying to share something with your husband? This has never happened in our house. I've just heard of this. But your husband's watching like a really good game or something. You're trying to pour out your heart. And he's like, huh? What'd you say? Huh? And we have a joke in our family. Like, you're in the house, but you're not present. Huh? So I've been guilty. I've been on both ends of that, both on the giving of it. My son was playing basketball at his school. He was probably like 8 or 9 years old. And how many have ever been to an 8 or 9 year old boys or girls school basketball game? Not like the most thrilling competitive experience. Like you're up there and it's just like final score 11-7. And the reason they scored it was an accident. They were trying to throw it to somebody and accidentally win it, right? So, I was watching the game, and, not exciting, so I just pulled out my phone, and I'm just, checking text messages and emails, and I'm doing work in the middle of this game. So the game's over, right? It's 8-5, and I think we won. And my son comes to me and says, hey, next time you come to my game, can you please stay off your phone? So I was at the game. I just wasn't. So I got some advice for you. When you're trying to get somebody's attention and they're not listening, just make up a story. Just like, yeah, we robbed them. We robbed the Circle K. We took out that armor guard and we carjacked like 4 cars and we took it to the border and we sold them all. What was that, honey? Just forget it, right? But I love this about God. Ever-present. He's not too busy for you. He's not caught up in a bunch of other things. And so in the middle of the chaos of our lives, of the culture, we can run to God. And what kind of help is He? He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. I looked up the word trouble. It actually means your circumstances are choking you. Is that you today? You feel like your finances are choking you, your family, your marriage, your teen kids are driving you crazy, your job is choking the life out of you. Check it out. God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. I'm preaching a lot better than you're responding. So why? So I get to access his protection. And verse 2 says, because he's the refuge and the strength, I will not fear. What are you freaking out about? We will not fear because God's our protection. If you know me at all, if I'm guilty of anything as it relates to like circumstances piling up and situations, I don't typically get like, oh, what am I gonna do? I'm just like the opposite. I'm just like, my wife will tell you, I'm just like somebody died. It's just like, okay, a little bit. I'm just like, my problem would be, maybe I'm not concerned enough. That's why, how many know it's good, the husbands and wives, sometimes we balance each other out. It's like, oh, what am I? I'm just like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So a week ago, on Saturday night, I was awoke in the middle of the night, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. You've ever wake, like it always happens on Saturday night. And I wake up and then I'm praying. So I start praying for the service that morning and I'm praying for, how many of you go through the whole list, right? Alaska and Colorado, Delaware, all these states. And then you're praying for your family and the services that morning. And then out of nowhere, like an hour in, I'm like, is there anything else I need? I want to go back to bed. And then I started to think about my Africa trip we're leaving tonight. On the way back from Africa, we're going to stop in Paris. I know it's really sad. Somebody has to do it. And we have a layover, and we've done this before, two times before. We'll jump on the underground, and we're going to go to the Eiffel Tower and maybe have like a little quick lunch at a cafe and then back on. And so I started thinking about my trip, praying for the trip, and then out of nowhere, I started getting scared. This is not me. Because I'm just like, I started getting fearful, and I'm like, oh, we're going to Paris. But I've done that before. I've been to the Eiffel Tower, and I've been there, but then I heard a voice like, oh, no, but Paris is different now. They've had a bunch of bombs, and there's terrorists that are there. Not that they come from other countries. They're inbred. And Steve, what happens if you went down to the Eiffel Tower and boom, then you lost your, how many of you start putting, like, then I'm not going to be a father. I'm not going to be a pastor. Who's going to take over the church? Who's going to be it, right? And like out of the nowhere, I just like, I'm like, devil, you are a liar. And I just took authority over that. That's why the Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear. See, fear is a spirit. You need to take. So I just said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that fearful spirit. And I require that it's got to be captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's a spirit. So check out. You don't have to be afraid. This is an easy sermon to preach, but the reason why we don't have to be afraid is because God is our refuge and our strength. We will not fear. Do you know 95% of what we fear, sociologists say 95% will never happen? Oh, it's not going to happen. Just relax. How many are fearful? How many are fearful of spiders? Come on, get your hand up. Shame the devil. Okay? But check it out. You're here today. So even if you got bit or whatever, you're still here, right? You didn't die. How many are fearful of snakes, big snakes that will strangle you, right? Okay. But hey, you didn't get choked out. You're still at church today. You managed to, right? How many are fearful of sharks? Okay, some of you. And this is a true fact. Ready? You are more likely to be killed from a barnyard pig, true, than you are a shark. Think about, I was thinking about that when I read that. I'm like, that's an interesting funeral, isn't it? Think about that. Show up and, hey, John was a great guy and stuff, but the pig just took him out. I don't know. How do you eulogize that guy? He was kind and gentle and loving, but he was slow as molasses because the pig took him out. Like, that's weird. Anyhow, so the spider didn't take you out. The snake didn't take you out. The pig, you're still here today. So 95% of what we're afraid about will never, ever happen. True story, a mailman went to a house, and as he walked to the front of the house, he saw signs everywhere, beware, danger, dog in the... And he had been bitten a couple times before, so he got to the front, he's like, forget that, I'm out of here. Goes back to his truck, and he's like, I'm just going to honk until the guy comes out. So he just, and the guy walks out with a little half-pound chihuahua. And the mailman said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, and he said, all the signs that you have up, beware, danger, big dog, is that what you're talking about? The chihuahua? And he goes, yeah. He said, this dog can't take anything out. Nobody's afraid of that dog. He said, I know, but they're afraid of the signs. And I thought about that's fear. Fear is a chihuahua posing as a pit bull. So I will not be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of anything. Be anxious for what? For nothing. But by prayer and with supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. God's got this thing. So I can run to him. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I love this. Psalm 23:4, you know, the funeral passage. Even though I walk through the valley of the... We never get this. It doesn't say death. It says the shadow of death. Let me tell you a couple things about shadows. Number one, they can't hurt you. How many know it's a big difference between getting hit by a shadow of a truck and getting hit by a truck? So they're bigger than they appear. Shadows can't hurt you. How about this? Anywhere there is a shadow, there is light. So even in your dark times, who is the light of the world? Jesus is the light of the world. I don't have to be afraid. God's got this thing. So here's the first anchor. Number one, I get to access his protection. But I got to read this verse coming on the screen. Psalm 18:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I didn't plan on this. I'm just going to go with it right now. You're in the sermon. Dude, seriously, man, I'm never sitting in the front here. And you're in the sermon, young dude. Come on, get over here. And you're in the sermon. Can you have her hold that? Okay, so you're going to stand right there and just stand right there. So the Bible says the Lord is on my side. So the two of us, we're going to do a little wrestling. I'm going to take you. So I know you guys think you're all tough and stuff, but we'll just let the church vote. If the two of us were going to fight the two of you, I love you guys. You're awesome. We're glad you're in church. But the chance that you have to take us down, I'm thinking like zero. So why? Because this guy's on my side. And we're bigger than you, and we're badder than you, and we're tougher than you, and we're more experienced than you. You want to bring it home? I'm just kidding. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. You may sit down. He's going to walk back and like, I can't think I can take him. No, you can't, man. So, the Lord's on my side. Like, come on. Like we think about like a baseball game. It's like 7-7, and 9 innings are over, so we got to go into extra innings because it's so close. Football, end of the game, it's like it's 14-14. We got to go into extra innings. Soccer, it's the World Cup, it's 2-2. We got to do penalty kicks because the game was so close. But not in life, man. When God's on our side, I mean, we're victorious 100% of the time. Put your hands together and thank him for that. Love that. By the way, verse 3 says, "And although the mountains quake, everything around me, earth and mountains, there are pictures of stability. Even when all hell breaks around me, God's on my side. He's in control." Oh, if you grew up in the church, on solid, Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking. All other ground is sinking sand. But man, I got my feet placed on the rock. My kids hate it when I sing in church. All right, here we go. Point number two is this. I get to abide in his presence. Abide in his presence. Notice verse 7 here. I don't have time to read the whole passage. Verse 7, Psalm 46:7 says, the Lord Almighty is with us. Come on, you got to get that. He's with us. I love that the verse doesn't say that God is, he's close to us. God is near us. He's on the same street, but he's down the block. He's in the neighborhood, but he's across the street. No, God is, he's with us. You got to hear that. When you read the Bible, please look at me. When you read the Bible, you need to understand the promises in the Bible, over 7,000 of them, are for you. The problem is sometimes we read and go, oh, that promise is for a different person and a different generation and a different season. No. The promises of God are rooted in the character of God. And how many know that the character of God never changes? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's with Moses 4,000 years ago, he's with me today. If he got the Israelites out of the Red Sea, I mean, he can get me out of some stuff in my life. And I got to abide in his presence. John chapter 15 says about the word abide, it means to remain. To remain. Someone say to remain. Took our kids to Disneyland when they were young. I don't know, 4, 6, and 8. I think it's weird to take your like 1-year-old. They're not going to remember anything. It's a waste of money. Anyhow, we waited till they can enjoy it. Sorry, I just thought I'd slip that in. So, you know, you go to a fair or something, Magic Mountain, you get those little glowy things. And so they're all excited. Oh, it's so good. It's green, right? And they wore it all the way home. And then the next day,
what happened to my necklace?
Oh, guys, you don't understand. When you bought it, all of those necklaces are under this fluorescent light. And once you take it out from that light, the longer that you take it away from the light, it loses its glow. Good sermon illustration, isn't it? The further you get away from the presence of God, the people of God, church services, small groups, training for life, the further you get away, you're going to lose your glow. And that's why the Bible says you need to abide in Him. You need to remain in Him. That's an awesome point, Pastor Steve. But when you say abide in His presence, what do you mean? That means a lot of things to a lot of people. I would just say this. Whatever stirs your affection for Jesus Christ, do that. Reading the Bible, I like to read deep theological books. That helps me abide in Christ. I like to turn on some Jesus culture, some Hillsong, get in my car, listen to worship music. That stirs my affections for Jesus Christ. Right? Whatever stirs your affections, I like to eat. That stirs my affections for Jesus. Whatever stirs my affections for Jesus will help me remain in Him. That's great. Then verse 5 says, we will not fail. We will not fail. The word fail means, or fall means, to be moved or to be shaken. Remember Elvis Presley? Does that guy ring a bell? He was on the front page of Newsweek magazine in 1977. He wrote a very famous song called, I don't know, he wrote a lot of famous songs. I'm all shook up. On a dare, he was making $14 a day driving a truck. He just lost his mother. On a dare, his friend said, hey, you wrote this song. Why don't you just send it out, see what happens? And he's like, come on, nobody's... So they listened to it. They liked it. The rest is history. He wrote a song called I'm All Shook Up. At the end of his life, right before he died, he said, I have no peace in my life. In fact, I'll pay $1 million to anybody that will allow me to have peace. So I got everything. I got fame. I got money. I got everything. I'll pay anybody $1 million just to experience peace. A guy wrote a song called I'm All Shook Up, never found the answer to being all shook up. At his funeral, millions of people came from all over the world. They gave 10 tons of roses to a guy that never found the answer to being all shook up. How many more celebrities and entertainers and professional athletes do we need to read about that are making billions of dollars and are still shook up? And the Bible says, hey, in verse 5, you will not be shaken. You will not be shaken. We can run to Him. We can abide in His presence. We will not be shaken. That's a great point. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Amen. Number 3, I think you're going to like this one the most. Number 3, affirm His power. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the mess, we need to affirm His power. Look at verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done. I got to be honest. Would you look at me for a second? For a couple years, I got away from like writing down answered prayers. Because you pray a prayer and then you kind of forget. I'm like, oh yeah, God's doing some stuff. And He doesn't answer everything every time I pray. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But He's in the waiting. But I got in the habit again this year just to write, okay, I prayed about this. And wow, God really did it. Because I forget, even as a pastor. That's why I love our first Wednesday services. A couple reasons. Number one, because people that are there actually want to be there. They're not going to church. Oh, we should probably go on Sunday. But they actually want to be there and they worship. It's awesome. But we always end it by testimonies. And then somebody will get up and say, you know what? I was addicted to drugs for like 8 years and I was just in a service and God set me free. I'm like, it's right. He is delivering people. Somebody else might get up and, you know what? I haven't been able to get a job and I've lost a job and I've tried everything. I went on all these websites and I had all these. But God said He's going to provide a job this week. And I believed Him. I went in and I didn't deserve to get there. And God gave me a job. I'm just like, that's right. He still provides needs and He still heals bodies. And I'm reminded, that's why verse 8 says, come and behold what the Lord has done. Testimonies and writing things down in your journal reminds us of the power of God. I got a couple of power scriptures for you. They're not coming on the screen. You might want to write it down. Philippians 4:13. Most of us know I can do all, not some things, not most things, not the majority of things. I can do all things. Psalm 37:39. He is our strength in time of trouble. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail. God is the strength of my heart. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary. 2 Chronicles 12:10, when I am weak, then I am strong. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I talked to a lot of people in our church, Pastor Steve, I feel like this situation's out of my control. That's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. It is out of your control. It's not out of God's control. I just feel powerless in this marriage, powerless in my parenting, powerless on my job, powerless with my health, powerless in my finances. That's okay. When you are weak, then you are strong. When I got saved in 1985, I just had a ferocious appetite for the Word of God, and I didn't read like a verse a day to keep the devil away or even a chapter a day. I read the whole book of Genesis one night, Exodus, and I was just like, couldn't get enough. I remember getting to the story about Samson. You heard the story about Samson? And I remember reading about Samson, like, dude, he is so strong. Here's the picture that I had in my mind. Like, you know that Dwayne Johnson guy, The Rock? I'm like, dude, like, he's like Schwarzenegger. He's this big, like, he's awesome. Because I was a new believer, I didn't really get it. But people even said when they looked at Samson, they didn't see The Rock. He probably looked more like Urkel. Because they looked at him like, dude, where did you get, like, you're just like a scrawny little guy. Where'd you get your power? And they realized that the power was not found in himself. The power was found in his God. Let me just say it. You're weak, I'm weak, we can't change anything, but we got to affirm his power. Can I get an amen in the house? I love this verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 on the screen. I also pray, Paul said, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. I just want to ask you a question. Do you think Jesus was in the grave? This big, huge stone was over the grave. Do you think it required any power to get him out of the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father? That seems like a pretty awesome thing. I think it took a lot of power to get Jesus out of the grave, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Would you echo that? Hey, check it out. That same power that got Jesus out of the grave, Ephesians 1:19 and 20 says, resides in me. It resides in me. So check it out. I don't have to be afraid. Why? Verse 10 says, be still. 2017, it would say this, be chill. Be chill and know that I am God. We took our daughter to Texas. We did that drive thing, Needles, Flagstaff, Albuquerque, dropped into Waco because my wife wanted to go to Magnolia Farms and spend our money, fix her upper. And then we made it to Texas. We stayed there for a few days, and we did the kids are like, so long, can we fly back? Like, yeah, you're paying for it. I ain't paying for you to fly back. And so we dropped them off at the airport. It cost them $100 each. And we took the other way home, 10 freeway. We finally got home. I didn't drive my car a couple of days before we left. I didn't drive it while we were gone. I didn't drive it the day or two after we got home. So I went into my car one day. I didn't even hear like a kick. It was just like, darn. So what's the problem? Battery. Battery's dead. So what do? I get my wife's car. I pull it up right next to my car. I get my battery cables out, open up her hood, open up my hood, get the battery cables, put the black on. Excellent. People at the last service are like, black on red. I'm like, no, that's a fire waiting to happen. Come on, ladies, black on black, red on red. And I've got a dead battery in my car, but she has a live battery. I took the live battery, and I start hooking up the dead battery in my car. I turn her car on. I turn my car on, and after 4 or 5 minutes, the live battery gives life to the dead battery, not because my battery had any power within itself. It was accessing power outside of myself. I'm preaching really good right now. That's exactly the Christian life. It's not my power. It's I'm accessing a power greater than my own. I'm dead. You're dead. We're accessing his power. Can I get an amen in the house? That's why. Check it out. That's why I can be still. That's why I can chill. Be still. It doesn't say freak out and be chaotic. Turn to someone and say, just chill. Does this surprise you that I'm kind of spaz? Like, I'm going to be in the airplane. I'm just like, dude, love it. What am I going to do? So I was like that as a kid. I'd be in the Catholic church. And, man, you think our church is boring. I was just like falling asleep. I was 8 years old. I was like, this is crazy. And we're making up games, right? And my mom would just, like, she was pretty gracious. But when she got mad, she got mad. I just remember she would do one of two things. Number one, she would grab you, run on the knee there, you sit still. be quiet. It was either that or worse. It was that fat right there. You know what I'm talking about? That? And she would kind of pinch you right there. And she would say, sit still and be quiet. I was such a smart mouth. I'm like, which one should I do, sit still or be quiet? I don't recommend that to any. Don't recommend that to you, brother, and you, sweetheart, okay? So she's just like, you. And that's it. I don't think God's mad at you, but I think that's a word for some of us. Just like, he's got this. Just sit still, be quiet. Like, what are we going to produce, honestly? No, just really not. You can't do anything. God is in control. He's sovereign. Hey, right now he is ruling the universe with his feet up. He's just like, chill, he's got this thing. I know you're freaking out about your health and your finances and your relationships and you're still single and you're 35 and you still haven't had kids and you've been married for 5 years. God's got this thing. He's in the waiting. Can I get an amen in the house? And check this out. We don't even have to fight the battle. I don't have time to read these verses, but like the battle's already over. How about this? The Raiders are up 48 points in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go. Do they need to score anymore? That's a bad illustration because they're never up 48 points. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. We'll use the fourth service for the podcast. Okay. A football team, hypothetically, is up by 48 points with 2 minutes in the fourth quarter. Do they have to score? No. Man, the game's over. It's over. My daughter and I, my son, we're Ohio State Buckeye fans, football. And last year, she came home for the weekend and she's like, hey, when you get home from the gym, let's watch the game together. It's like 12 o'clock, 12:30. And so I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And so I went to the gym and I pulled out my phone and somebody texted me or something. And I inadvertently went to ESPN and I saw the game was already over. We recorded it. Game was at like 9 o'clock. And so I already saw the scores. Like, we won. But I can't tell her that because she's going to be ticked at me because we're supposed to watch it together. So the whole game, I was like faking, like I didn't know what was going on. Like we had thrown an interception. I'm like, come on, man, it's terrible. But the whole time, the whole game, I already knew that we won. She's still bitter at me. We already won.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, it's his power. We've already won. You and I don't have to freak out. We don't have to fret. We don't have to be anxious about anything. God is totally and radically in control. Can we thank him for that this morning? Come on. All right. Let me just say one last thing, and then we're gonna sing a song. Okay? Here it is. It's a weird transition. I love Amazon. Any other Christians in the room? Yeah, Amazon. Thank you. Here's the reason why I don't really like to shop. And because, right, if you go out, you're like, okay, we need groceries. Okay, we'll go to Vons or Vallarta. And my headphones broke. I got to go to Best Buy. And, we need a backpack. So let's go buy, like, Dick's or something. And I need to get some clothes for the school year is going to start. We got to go to the Collection and then the Oaks and then the Ventura Mall. We're going to go all these places. And I don't have to go anywhere. It's like Amazon. How many of they got electronics there? I just got a backpack. I got a backpack. They got sports equipment there. You could probably buy a wife there. I don't know. They got a lot of stuff that you could. There's like everything you need. You don't have to go to 5 stores. You don't have to go to 7 stores. You don't have to go to 13 stores. You just pull it up on your. You don't even have to go to a store. Just click and do all your shopping online. It's like this super amazing shopping destination. That's Jesus. You don't have to go, I haven't been feeling. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm just saying that he's also a physician. And we're having a lot of problems in our marriage. He's also a counselor. And we just went through a very, very difficult time. And he's also a comforter. He's a deliverer. Hey, whatever you need, he is the super savior. You don't have to go to that person, that group, this group, that group. And nothing wrong with people in groups. I'm just saying that in God, you have protection, you have presence, you have protection, you have power. You got it all. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me pray for us. God, thank you for your protection, that we can run to you. You're a refuge and strength. God, thank you that we can abide in your presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. And God, we thank you that we are weak, but you're strong. Thank you this morning for your power. If you're here today, maybe you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I'd love to pray with you. I told the other service, 19 years of my life, I went to church off and on, think I was a Christian. I wasn't a Christian. Because I had religion, I never had a relationship. If you're here today and you've never opened up your heart and life to Jesus Christ, Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. Everybody in the room has been physically born one time. To be born again means a spiritual birth. So I can look back in my life, October 1985, I said yes to Jesus. When did you do that? I'd be honored to pray for anybody in the room. Maybe you've never, listen, maybe you've done religion, you own a Bible, you believe that there's a God out there, but you've never invited Christ to be your Lord and Savior. That's what's on the table this morning. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, do not harden your hearts. If you hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. God's spoken to you. And if you've never begun a relationship with Christ, the greatest thing you can do in your life is to say yes to Him. Starting on the left side of the building, my right. If you're here today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come forward right now. But you're in your chair. How you got here is really not that important, but you're here. God brought you here to this place. He orchestrated for you to be here to hear this message. And if you're here today, you're saying, Steve, I don't know if I've ever done that. I want to do that. Would you right now, would you open up your eyes, lift up your hand, and look right at me? And I want to agree with anybody in the section right here off to the left, these two sections. Raise your hand if that's you. You want to open your heart to Christ. You're not joining a church or anything. You're just saying, I want Jesus. There's four or five of you in this section. Thank you. Amen. Anybody here in the middle section opening up your heart to Christ? Come on, lift up your hand real high. I agree with you. I agree with you. Just go ahead and look at me. Nothing to be ashamed of. I agree with you. And you, one, two, three, four in the middle section. Thank you. Then off to my left, the far right side. Come on, get your hand up. Nothing to be ashamed of. God loves you. God loves you and you and you and you and you. 1, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's a few in the back there. God sees you. And if I missed you, God still sees you and He loves you. So God, for every hand that was lifted, I pray that You would seal that decision in the name of Jesus. Thank You for new sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in the kingdom. Thank You for that in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen. Would you stand to your feet? I want to end with one last song. As you're standing, our prayer teams are going to come forward right now. Please listen to me. This is really important. We still have about 3 minutes to go. Please don't leave unless there's an emergency or you're serving. Prayer teams, please make your way up here quickly. If you're here today and you raised your hand just a second ago, please listen. This is important. And you raised your hand and you looked at me. By that, you're saying, Steve, I want to follow Jesus. I think that was awesome that you did that. I want to encourage you, please. Would you get out of your seat in just a minute when the song's being sung and just come up and say, hey, I lifted my hand. I don't really understand everything. It's okay. Would you pray for me? Let somebody pray for you and just go public. Say, I raised my hand and I was serious. And we just want to give you a packet and help you in your first steps with Jesus. Hey, what parent has a baby in a hospital and just like leaves them by themselves? No, so spiritually speaking, you're still a child as it relates spiritually. We want to help you. We want to help navigate those next steps. Please, there was probably 20 or 25 people, and I know the thing is just like, oh, I don't want people to think, hey, we just think you're awesome, okay? We think you're awesome, so take advantage of that. So listen, nothing to be ashamed of, something to celebrate. If you were sincere, the Bible says you died to your old life, a brand new life God has for you. But maybe you're not in that category. You're in this category. I'm already a Christian. I'm just going through some stuff. I mean, we all go through some stuff. And so you come forward in just a minute. Let somebody pray with you and encourage you and come alongside of you. Take advantage of that. For the rest of us, let's sing this song together. And let's just be reminded that in the waiting, God's still there. Amen? So you can start coming right now. Get out of your seats right now. Find somebody. Let somebody pray with you. The rest of us, let's sing this song together.